Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. So, somewhere around Thursday, Friday, or today, we're about halfway through Lent. Did you know that? So there's good news about that. If you started off your Lenten discipline, you decided to give up cupcakes, all meat, sodas, coffee, fun, whatever it is, and you didn't make it very far, it's good news because you're only halfway there, and so it's time to sort of renew that sense of sacrifice. If you're just now waking up to the fact that Lent has begun, you've got some time also before Easter. And so we're in the middle of our Lenten season, our reflection, and we look around and we begin to see signs of resurrection. And so if you have a garden, you might have seen your crocuses starting to sort of poke up a little bit. If you look out in our garden, some of the trees are starting to have a little green on them. If you have allergies, you're sneezing a lot. These are all signs of the rebirth of the creation as we get a little closer to Easter. It's a great little piece of trivia in the scripture this morning, and there's sort of two different places that the symbol comes from, but if you've ever been to a doctor's office, which most of you, I assume, have, you might see the medical symbol, which is often a staff with a snake wrapped around it, or a serpent, sometimes two, wrapped around looking at each other. This scripture we have from Numbers is one of the places where that symbol comes from. There's another tradition in the Greek tradition as well where that symbol is also from. I love this particular scripture because it's another time when Moses is out in the desert and the people are lost and they need leadership. And so this whole story, the people are leaving their place in Egypt, they're going to the promised land, and there's a long journey. And they're out of food, and they get frustrated, and they start making idols, and they do this stuff, and they do this, and now they're being attacked by serpents. And so serpents, you might have, if you have a wild imagination, you're imagining all kinds of things, but really we're talking snakes, right? If you've ever walked in a wetland or been out in grass, you often encounter snakes. And so they're being bit, and there's a problem, and they're frightened, and things are happening, and God gives Moses a symbol and says, hold the symbol up, when you see it, they will live. It's a way of pulling them out of that focus and pulling them towards something different. How many of you have ever been to a sporting event and you've seen John 3:16? Right? I love it. It's kind of fun. It used to annoy me, but as I've gotten older, I think it's just kind of funny. I kind of look for it when I go to see. Somebody usually has a sign somewhere that says that, and it's pointing to the scripture, the gospel we have today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that those who have faith would not perish but have eternal life. It's a beautiful piece of scripture, and we get a little more about what Jesus means by that as the gospel continues and talks about being people of light, being people that allow our sins and other things to come to the light of the world, that we're people that allow God or allow things to not be a people of deceit or of lies, but to be out and open and to be in the light. What does that mean for us? What does it mean to be a person of light? How many of you ever check up on people's reputations? Anybody ever been on Angie's List? You know what that is? On Angie's List, you can go and you can see how people are rated. So if you go to a doctor, you can look on there, and sometimes people will tell you how good a doctor is. We used to do this by just neighbor-to-neighbor conversation, but with online stuff, we go on there. Or you might be hiring a roofing contractor, and you want to know if they've got a good reputation. Are they going to do good work? And so you go to these places, and you look to see who does a good job. And sometimes we do the same thing, I think, with other people. If you have children, if you've ever had children, and they're going to school, you find out who the best teachers are, right? And when it comes time for the next year, when the teachers are selected, you sort of try to make sure, well, I hope I get this one and not this one, or this is going on. And sometimes we look for the best or the brightest or those that are in light. Now, Angie's List hasn't quite decided to rate churches yet. You know, I'm waiting for that. They're starting to see a little bit here and there, but I'm waiting for the church rating site to make its foray, and that'll be fun. But we do that, don't we? We ask and we sort of see. think there's another way that we do it, and how do we look for people around us that are people of light? They might be leaders, people with deep integrity. There might be people who we look to that bring joy or lightness or healing. Someone that when you encounter them, you walk away with a different sort of feeling about yourself. Often you're sort of elevated. I've had different people in my life that I've encountered when even just an hour with them has changed the way I think, has opened my understanding, has increased some capacity in some way. I'll never forget, I had a chance to sit down and have lunch with the CEO of a company called Axiom, and I was very intimidated at the moment, and I walked in, and we spent 2 hours together. His mom was a member of my church, and we were looking after her, and he just wanted to have a conversation, and so I went up, and we sat down, and I was able to spend 2 hours with this person, and I walked away thinking about things totally differently from that conversation. It was that sort of moment. Sometimes I think this is really what Jesus is getting at, that people of light are different. Because we see an eternity before us instead of something finite. It's as if we have that golden staff with the snake wrapped around, hitting ahead of us saying, you can be healed, you can be made whole, there is something beyond this moment, and we don't perish, and we don't die, and we can bring change to the world. Maybe that's why we see John 3:16 in all kinds of places. Because we want to see that light. We want to see that healing. We want to see that place where things are made more whole. I want to encourage you as you go about your week to think about this and to watch for those moments of light. To pray about them and to think about them. To think when someone enters your world and how they might bring light to that place. But then I want you to think about something different, about how we're called as Christians to be those people of light in the places that we go. To often bring that healing presence into the world. To bring that sense of God's joy, that sense of God's whatever it might be, that healing into whatever situation we might go into. It's a heavy call in some ways, but it's a call that's very meaningful. So back to this Lenten discipline thing. It's not about feeling guilty. It's not about failing. And it's not about a diet. It's about being strengthened to be light in the world. In other words, the Lenten disciplines are meant to give you time to reflect, time to pause, time to think about God in your life, time to help bring you out of that wandering desert toward the source of light and healing. To strengthen you to do the ministry in the world that we're all called to. So maybe the challenge before us is to be even more so the people of light in the world around us. Isn't it dark? Don't we need some of God's presence in every situation that we encounter? So can we be the light in the world? Amen.